Good morning and welcome to our blether this morning, where we come to understand and know what's happening in the surrounding parishes in our area grouping. And we start to with Clooney and Morning Mask.
Hey, thank you. And it's lovely to be with you. Just a few intimations really from us in our corner of the wood. We have last Wednesday started our new members inquiry class, and I'm delighted that we have three people who are expressing an interest to make a public profession of faith. Also this coming week, our Kirk session at Clooney and Congregational Board at Clooney will meet, and on the agenda is the journey of the area group, among other things, and we're hoping for a positive outcome with that, depending on how you describe positive. Our mainly music group continues, and next Sunday, I'll actually not be in church. I'm having a Sunday off, and so it will be a digital service. I have recorded a couple of services, a complete service. We're not going to use a joint service. I'm going to use a complete service by myself that I'd recorded for if I had been in isolation that we could use. So it will be easier for me to have a few days off and just record that rather than wait and add the joint service in later. So my apologies for my colleagues. It's no offence to you, but it's just easier for me. So that's what's happening this week. So I think we'll go to Joshua now for Kemi.
Thanks, Ewan. And it's nice to see everybody today. Greetings from Kemne Manse. In terms of what's going on in Kemne, for this Sunday, we're taking a pause with the school break of our Sunday school. But we'll be continuing with worship in the church at 10 a.m. We're continuing to look at the book of James, looking this week at what James has to say about wisdom from below and wisdom from above. So that's the main thing that's happening in Kemne this week. And later on, we like in Clooney, we'll have had a meeting of our Kirk session to discuss the proposal to the Kirk sessions about the way forward in shared ministry as well. And so we will await the outcome of that meeting alongside Clooney. So that's what's happening in Kemne right now. And I'll pass it over to Stella and Blair Daff and Chapel of Geary.
Hello and good morning and welcome to everyone as they're listening to the blether. Noted an awful lot of news. We're welcoming you in today on Sunday and Neil next week as our ministers in rotation. And the only other thing to report is that we've had our quinquennial inspection and seemed to pass that with good colours as our buildings are in good order, but I just love that name, the quinquennials. That's our every fifth year. So passing on to Neil.
Thank you, Stella. From Kintore, there's not much news, just our regular events, our Friday morning drop-in from 9:30 till 11, where you can pop by for a cup of tea and a chat, and also to make donations to the food bank. Then on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. on Zoom, we have our Bible chat. We're working through the Sermon on the Mount at the moment in Matthew chapter 5. And other news is that starting from today, from this Sunday, we will not be taking names at the door any longer, but we will still need a track and trace record for folk who come through for tea after the service. It's one of the anomalies of the track and trace system. So that's in Kintore. I know there are other things happening at other churches, but if you happen to be worshiping at Kintore today, that is, and from now on, that will be the case. Right, that's it from Kintore. Back to you, Tose.
Okay, thank you, Neil. Now we thank the Lord for this time. This is the time for worship now. This is the day that the Lord has made for us. Let us worship together. Calvary, greetings to everyone, and thank you for being with us on this joint service. Welcome to this service as well. Our call to worship.
The people living in darkness have seen a great light. Let us come before our living Lord, prepare to see his light and to worship him. Shall we pray? Our welcoming Lord, you have invited us to come into your house. We are here to worship you, ready to receive you in our lives and to be filled with praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we don't always recognize you when you come towards us. There are so many things in our busy lives that distract us from you. Today, we wait on you, ready to listen and obey. We pray that we may focus on you now and receive your blessings. Now, as we listen to your word, it is our prayer that your word might change our lives, that your word may help us to think, to live according to your will. For these and other things, Lord, we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Today's reading from Scripture comes to us from the Gospel according to Luke, reading from the 6th chapter, verses 17 through 26. Hear now the word of God. And Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This is God's word to us today. To the Lord be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Shall we pray? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever played the game Chinese Whispers? And for the love of me, I don't know why it's called that. You know, the game where one person quietly tells the person next to them a sentence and says, "Pass it on," but only in a whisper, don't let others hear. And then it goes round a number of people and returns to the original speaker. And most often or not, it's changed. It's either changed its substance, or people have misunderstood, or have just made it up. I did it a few years ago with the Children's Midweek Club at Clooney. It was fascinating watching the kids pass the message. I started. I said to the kid next to me, "The minister has a hole in his sock and his big toe is sticking out." I can't recall what the final feedback was, but it was nothing to do with socks or a big toe. And I wonder sometimes if that's what's happened to the sharing of the gospel and other Bible stories. In days before people could read or write, or where printing was long and laborious, handwritten experience, I wonder if stories from the Bible were shared and some bits got changed. Yes, of course, people deliberately change parts for a theology, but maybe some of it got changed by mistake. And surely some of you would say, "Ah, but the scriptures are inspired word of God," and I'm not going to deny that. I do wonder, though, if the sources used by the authors of the Bible came from stories which may or may not have been shared exactly as what happened. And that's where the interpretation came along. That's where the Spirit comes in. That's where they become inspired, as people use these stories to teach about God. You would think when reading the Gospels, the story of Jesus, that they would be the same. But obviously, that's not the case. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's clear that they have a similar source material, and that parts of it are unique in each. John's Gospel, which was the last one to be written, is written from a different perspective and uses resources that the first three don't have or don't use. When you read them, you see stories that appear similar but out of step with each other's versions in the timeline or the geography or the facts of the story. It depends upon what the compiler and author of the gospel was trying to teach his audience, and that again is the inspiration. That's why it becomes the inspired word of God. Anyway, let's look at that passage from St. Luke. St. Luke, who we are journeying through in this year in the lectionary material. And it's similar to another famous passage, It's like Matthew's account, that famous Sermon on the Mount. This time, it's a bit shorter. And while Matthew has Jesus going up a hill to preach, Luke has him coming down from a hill to give a sermon not on the mount, but a sermon on the plain. Mark has Jesus preach to a crowd from a boat by the sea as part of his teaching experience. Different stories, perhaps some common strands to them. In Matthew's account of the Beatitudes, the Blessed saying this big sermon, we often think that's the most important one. That's the one we most often think of when I say the Beatitudes. Certainly the most often I think of. But Luke's account here should not be overlooked on the account of its apparent brevity. I must be honest, I've always liked when people are brief, and yet at times I've found myself, and no doubt people watching this who know me recognize this, when I've padded sermons just to make them long enough. Anyway, back to Luke and the Sermon on the Plain. Jesus had just come down from a hill where he had set apart 12 disciples to become apostles. They were now his inner circle. He came down with them, and it seems to me that this would be a good time to give the big sermon, teaching the crowds, yes, but also his newly set apart apostles, according to Luke's timeline. And the passage begins with really a short summary of Jesus' work and the evidence of the power of God in him. We read, "Those troubled by impure spirits were cured. And people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all." Remember, this is the Jesus who in his home synagogue spoke about the power. And after reading from the prophet Isaiah, proclaimed that the prophecy was fulfilled in him. And I'll say more about that in a minute or two. And so the crowds had gathered, and many came to hear his words. And others came to be healed by him. And there is a couple of words or a wee phrase that really moves me, and I'm not sure why. For in that passage I read, or we read, it said, all the people tried to touch him. People were desperate to receive from him this teaching, but also to feel his power, and so they reached out for Jesus, who recognized that he was the source of life and, yes, hope for these people. To be honest, he should still be for you and me. That's why we gather, to worship him, either online or face to face. The power of God was present on that plain that day, and the people needed it and reached out for it. Lord, we need that power today. As we reach out to you seeking hope and healing of all that troubles us. Yours is the timeless touch, dear Lord, and we bless you for it, just like the folk on the plain 2,000 years ago were. We hunger for it. And after that short summary of his ministry, Luke turns to the teaching. And sometimes it can be overlooked, but given the timeline and what I've said about Jesus setting apart his disciples, the passage of that starts with the words, "Looking at his disciples," he said. Was the teaching only for them or for all gathered? Well, really a mix, I suspect. He was teaching the crowd, but in doing so, he was teaching his disciples, and what a teaching it was. This passage that seems, well, so well known, the Beatitudes of Jesus. However, that passage that we know so well, Matthew's, is slightly different in perspective to Luke's. Matthew has a more spiritual point of it. Luke seems to be more practical. Matthew has 9 such beatitudes or blessed sayings. Luke, on the other hand, has only 4 and may very well be directed at the disciples. And the message seems a bit more primitive. So let's look at these 4 beatitudes. And as we read them, we also have to remember that these 4 blessed sayings are balanced by woe sayings. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. I've never had a lot of money in my life. But at no time from a council house in Dundee being raised in a one-parent household due to the early death of my mother to today, have I ever considered myself to be poor in terms of what I have. Indeed, today I suspect I'm as well off as I could ever have hoped for when I was a child, both in financial terms, but in many other ways that one cannot put a price on. We can fancy it all up and say, as Matthew is, that this is poor in spirit, but I think Luke is actually saying, blessed are those who are poor, who have little to call their own, who are financially poor. He's saying that while you may not have much in this life, you will have a place in the kingdom of God. He's giving them hope. And I suspect that this teaching is why we in the Church of Scotland emphasize our support to the poor, not just in the spirit, but the poor in our communities. Mind you, as I've said, balancing the blessed sayings are the woes that follow. For to balance that, we read, but woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Is Luke saying that rich people will not enter the kingdom? I hope not, for in this whole world, I suspect all of us here fall within the top 5% of the world's richest people. So we're not poor in world terms. But we have to recognize the blessings that we have received, and to my mind, not make wealth our goal, but rather to make Jesus our goal. And the second of the Beatitudes of Luke relates again to Matthew's blessing of those who mourn, but this time Luke makes it simple. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Again, we have a contrast, that through Christ, those who are sad can find happiness, that those who may appear to have the weight of the world bearing down on them and leading them to distraction and tears may, through Jesus, find in their trust that they will be in time able to laugh. But again, in contrast to the blessings, we see the balance. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. So what am I saying about this? Is Jesus saying we can't be happy? Of course not. What Jesus is saying, I think, according to Luke, is that those who spend their lives simply trying to reach out that personal pleasure, which may be summed up as laughter, will by their selfishness end up sad. Because in their selfish life of seeking for themselves, they have ignored Christ and those less well off than themselves. And then he carries on in the same mold. Blessed are you who hunger now, you will be satisfied. We may contrast that with the more spiritual, and I put that in inverted commas perhaps, of Matthew's gospel. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be found. You can imagine that that sounds so much better. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. But it sounds so much positive to say, if you're hungering after and thirst after righteousness, that you'll be filled. And you can see that this part, like most of Luke's version, is different. Luke, I think, is saying that Jesus is speaking to a crowd who are poor. Many of them are pushed to the wings of society, are servants and slaves, those with little voice and even little less chance of changing their status in life. Remember, Jesus himself was brought up in that small, out-of-the-way village of Nazareth. And while we don't know, and we often don't think about it, many would have been poor, living hand-to-mouth existence. He knew his audience, and he wanted to give them hope. Don't you recall these words that I mentioned earlier when he spoke in the synagogue of Nazareth? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And once he had finished reading, he sat down and said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And then the final of the blessed sayings in Luke's Beatitudes is similar to that of Matthew. It's about being persecuted for your faith, for such people will be rewarded in heaven. Down the generations, faithful people, many will have received this blessing because of their faith. I read a report, I have to say it was from the Vatican News, which I don't read very often, which suggested that in 2022, 360 million Christians worldwide may be subject to persecution by individuals, but often through state-sponsored anti-Christian teaching. Staggering. These people may, like those of the early church, suffer because of their faith in Jesus. But this teaching says they will be rewarded. But it's not like Luke's gospel just to speak about the rewards. He also has a counter-warning. For he says, "Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Jesus is warning his faithful followers that there is a danger in trying too hard to be popular. Over the last few years in politics, it seems that some politicians will say anything to make them popular. They eventually get caught out. And the same is true in any field of life, including preachers. It's easy to say that which is popular, but the warning is speak the truth. And don't go for populist acclaim, because then you'll be caught out as a false prophet. The Beatitudes in Luke's Gospel show a contrast between blessing and woe. It's probably less spiritual, more practical in its layout than Matthew's account. However, to me, practical can be spiritual. And according to Luke, Jesus is, during this opening of a sermon, speaking to the marginalized and giving them hope. He's speaking to his disciples and giving them direction. In this passage, I believe that Jesus offers us that same hope and that same direction. And he teaches us where to find blessing. And like many of Jesus' teaching, he turns our world upside down. While the world tells us to look in one direction, to find happiness, we need wealth or power or popularity. And that, we think, is a blessing. The Lord turns it around in completely opposite direction. For me, the short, simple, in a way, opening of a sermon on the plain, recorded by Luke, is a teaching of love over hate, of care for others over selfish ambition. It is putting our faith into practice by how we live our lives. And more would follow after these opening beatitudes of teaching us how to behave and how to live. We've all been blessed, not least by the faith we follow, by the love shown to us, you and me, by God in Jesus. Do you know, when I speak to people in church most Sundays, I'll maybe ask them, "How are you doing? How are you getting on?" And many respond, "Oh, fine." Maybe if people ask me, how are you getting on? Or I ask others, maybe we should respond, I'm blessed. Recognizing just what Jesus has done for us all. Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you that our lives and our labors are useful to you in the service of your kingdom. We thank you for your endless, overflowing grace that knows no bounds, even as we seek to limit it through our bad choices. Lord God, as you heard the cries of your people in the wilderness and fed them bread from heaven, as we remember how Jesus nourished your people with words of justice and compassion, hear us today as we pray for our world. We pray for those whose daily need for food, clean water, and proper shelter goes unmet, and for those misusing what they have in the vain pursuit of pleasure. Feed them with a sense of justice and fairness, that they might stand firm in the right for all people now to a decent life. We pray for those whose lives have been broken by violence and crime, conflict and struggle. Feed them with courage and anticipation of a life beyond the barriers which hold them back. We pray for those who are sick or sorrowing, and those who care for and console them. We pray especially for those we know personally who are facing difficulties at this time, and who we name in a time of silence. Fill them, Lord, with your healing presence and remind them of your promises. We pray for those who have lost faith in themselves and in you, and who struggle to find meaning in life. Focus their eyes on you, Lord, and give them hope for a new day. We pray for ourselves that we might be filled with energy to serve you better in our daily living, and that we might, even in our doubt, be reminded that you will never turn away or abandon us. May we always look to you as the one who gives us life. All this we ask in Jesus' name as we share the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we sing our closing hymn from Mission Praise 760, Trust and Obey.
Yeah.
Now go in peace. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and always. Amen.